MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Monday, December 18, 2023, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. The MBTA has opened the Lynn train station today with temporary platforms, and area school districts continue to focus on building needs.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we have several updates, including Peabody boys basketball winning two games over the weekend. Rick?
Okay, thank you, Bill. High winds, heavy rain, temperatures near 60 today. High tide, Gloucester Harbor, 3:16 p.m. The Lynn MBTA train station is reopening today. The station has been shut down since October of 2022. The Daily Item is reporting that the temporary platform is opening 9 months ahead of schedule following a project redesign that was triggered by concerns from leaders in Lynn. The nearby MBTA garage will also be open. The city of Lynn got approval last week to move forward to build a new Pickering Middle School, and now the focus will be on the city's aging elementary schools. This is Mayor Jared Nicholson.
Because we have a real problem with our school buildings. We have 27 school buildings, almost half of them are 100 years old, and they're overcrowded. We're up something like 15% in the last 10 years in the number of students. And so we desperately need to build school buildings. We're working on doing that.
Nicholson was speaking on Lynn TV's American Dream program. The Daily Item is reporting today that the city is working on an evaluation of all 18 elementary schools to establish a plan that will address the educational facility needs for the Lynn Public Schools. And the Massachusetts School Building Authority has denied the Triton Regional Middle High School renovation plan. The district applied for funding support to deal with electrical, heating, and plumbing needs at the school. Members of a group helping develop a management plan for Manchester Harbor will be in town today. Stephen Hagen writes in today's Gloucester Times that the select board is weighing harbor management plans, which include addressing topics related to potential flooding in the downtown area. Manchester by the Sea Harbor Master Byron Pike says the town is considering two plans and the town may need to make a decision early in 2024. A fire on Friday morning displaced 10 residents in Beverly. The Salem News reports that the fire on 20 Blaine Avenue started on the first floor, and when firefighters arrived, flames and smoke were visible. There were no major injuries. And the 2023 Gloucester 400 Plus commemoration is about to come to a close. This is Gloucester 400 Plus Tri-Chair Bob Gillis.
Sure, Rick. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Ruth Pino, my fellow Tri-Chair, along with Bruce Toby, likes to remind me that this has taken 5 years out of our lives.
Yes, exactly.
So,
in a big way.
Yeah. So it's really been right around 2018 that it got started. And there's been just great enthusiasm among the volunteers, and it's gone extremely well. We've had bumps on the road. One little issue known as COVID-19 basically closed us down. At that point, during that year, there really was no fundraising. There were no gatherings, obviously. We didn't get much done in that year, but in 2021, really after the vaccine came out, we started ramping up to get ready for this year, and then it's been more or less of a whirlwind since then. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of fun, a lot of work, and a tremendous amount of dedicated volunteers that have made this happen.
There are still two more events coming up.
Well, we still have a few events coming up. The year isn't over. There's a wonderful storytelling event at Maritime Gloucester, led by, again, our leader in the stories area, Terry Mangos Weber. And that's coming up Tuesday at 6:30 at Maritime Gloucester. And we're also looking to have a big New Year's Eve event for families at our beautiful Cape Ann YMCA. We're going to have a laser show. There's going to be all kinds of fun stuff, and it's going to be for families, kids. We're looking to knock it out of the park on New Year's Eve.
That's Gloucester 400 Plus Committee Tri-Chair and retired Cape Ann Savings Bank President Bob Gillis. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO News Sports. News updates throughout the day. Great local sports coverage. Giving voice to North Shore newsmakers.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Patriots lost to the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday in Foxborough, 27-17. Coach Bill Belichick asked after the game about the third quarter turnover by the Pats and the team's performance yesterday.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of big plays in the game. We had a couple turnovers, had one called back, had another touchdown called back. There's a number of key plays in the game that could have helped us a little more than the way they turned out.
The Celtics beat the Orlando Magic yesterday, 114-97. They play at Golden State on Wednesday. The Bruins were off yesterday. They'll host Minnesota tomorrow night. The Peabody boys basketball team scored two wins over the weekend. On Friday night, they beat Beverly 71-57. Yesterday, they downed Bishop Fenwick 74-50. Tanner coach Thad Broughton is getting some solid play out of Anthony Forte. This is Coach Broughton speaking after Friday's win.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Anthony's senior season. He's a kid that's played varsity since his freshman year, and he's just improved each and every year. He really, really works hard on his game in the off season. And so last night, he hit seven threes, and each three was huge. But not only is shooting, he gets to the hoop, and he creates for others. Great defender as well. He was definitely one of our huge keys last night, and just very happy for his success because, like I said, he's a kid that's really, really put the time and the effort into becoming a really good basketball player.
Peabody coach Thad Broughton on Anthony Forte. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Monday. Stay dry and be sure to keep listening for North Shore Today Extra. A unique holiday gift.
If you're tired of giving gifts that nobody wants or uses, think about giving something they actually need and use, like a soap bar. This is a brand new soap bar by the company Exo Bath. It's not just like any soap bar, it has a unique twist. It has a space carved into the top of it that then you can take an old soap sliver and put it right inside to reuse it. If you know somebody that uses soap bars, think about giving them this bar as a gift. It's available for purchase on xobath.com. And right now you can even get your first purchase 20% off with the code HELLOXO.
Click on the banner at the top of our website.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and I'm at the Gloucester 400 Plus Organizations Capitol here on Main Street in Gloucester, and it's a fantastic place. There's some video up on the website with this interview. Talking now with one of the tri-chairs of the Gloucester 400 Plus Committee, Bob Gillis, and of course, I'm sure everybody's familiar with the fact Bob's former bank president at Cape Ann Savings Bank, and again, one of the tri-chairs along with Ruth Pino and former Mayor Bruce Tobey. And Bob, first of all, thanks for taking the time. This has been a historic year. I mean, the Gloucester 400 Plus started as the Gloucester 400 maybe, 4 years ago? And maybe you could give me a little background on the genesis of this thing. How did the committee first come about, and what were some of the ideas you tossed about and then worked through?
Sure, Rick. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And Ruth Pino, my fellow tri-chair, along with Bruce Tobey, likes to remind me that this has taken 5 years out of our lives.
Yes, exactly.
So,
in a big way.
Yeah. So it's really been right around 2018 that it got started. And there's been just great enthusiasm among the volunteers, and it's gone extremely well. We've had bumps on the road. One little issue known as COVID-19 basically closed us down. At that point, during that year, there really was no fundraising. There were no gatherings, obviously. We didn't get much done in that year, but in 2021, really after the vaccine came out, we started ramping up to get ready for this year, And then it's been more or less of a whirlwind since then. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of fun, a lot of work, and a tremendous amount of dedicated volunteers that have made this happen.
I want to get to that because the volunteerism is something that I think is really extra special in involving on this whole thing. Give me a little idea of what some of the brainstorming sessions were like, and maybe the hours that you got together, where you got together, a little bit of background, like if we could follow you around with a camera, what was the organizational building like, in terms of, okay, let's get ready for the first thing, the second thing, whatever it might be. But just an idea of the brainstorming you guys did early on and then bring us up to where we are today. And then what I'd like to do is sort of review the year.
Sure, Rick. We recognized early on that for the level of work that we were going to have here, we couldn't just rely on volunteers. We understood that we were going to need paid staff. And so we started seeking that. And we basically started with Laura Ventimiglia as our executive director. And Laura did an outstanding job for us. And her original focus was going to be on the Stories Project. And the Stories Project is something that has been a big, big part of our celebration.
Excuse me for 1 second. Okay, so Bob had to do some storekeeping here for a second, and we're going to continue our conversation with Bob Gillis. And Bob, we were talking about organization. You were talking about putting together a paid staff, I believe.
Right, Rick. We started with Laura Ventimiglia, was our executive director. And her focus as a college professor, really, her interest and her focus was on the Stories Project, which has been a tremendous success. And over time, she developed some health issues, and she had to step down from that position. But she has continued to help us tremendously with the Stories Project, among other things. And we were very, very fortunate to have Laura's expertise. And we then hired our executive director, whose name is Elsha Zwart. And Elsha continues to lead the organization and has done a great job for us. In addition to her, we have Terry Weber, who is our Stories Project Manager. And Terry has been absolutely outstanding. People have loved working with her. She's a professional editor. Again, she's been just a pleasure to work with, and she is responsible for the success of our Stories Project book more than anybody. And the book is going to be coming out hopefully by Christmas, but if not by Christmas, it'll be shortly after the first of the year. And we're very excited about it. It's a beautiful book. Terry worked incredibly hard to make it beautiful and successful. And I haven't gotten to read all the stories yet. As a matter of fact, I've only touched the surface, but I'm going to read every single one. Yeah. The ones that I've read have been fabulous. They're about Gloucester people, regular Gloucester people, not necessarily heroes or zeros or anything like that, just Gloucester folks and great, great stories.
I've read one so far, and that was Bill Squillis's, and that was sort of a homework assignment, so I'm looking forward to that as well. What were some of the ideas that actually developed into events? Early on, maybe the seed or germ of an idea, but then going through the process of working on it, trying to get it established and brought to fruition, what are one or two of the idea is that if you go back a few years that were first put on the table and actually came about?
Yeah, some of those ideas, and it was interesting being in the room when they were being developed because none of the ideas came from me. It was people with imagination and foresight that came up with some terrific ideas for events. And, you know, again, it was Laura and Elsha and Terry. Isabel Pett is our events manager, also tremendous. We've been so lucky to have the staff that we have, tremendously lucky. And they really put these events together. And, you know, the ones that the major ones that I think of, and there have been a ton of them, small events, medium, large events. And the idea is we've been looking to have most of these events be free to the public, which they have been. And examples of those were the Fisheries Festival, which was a tremendous, tremendous festival down on the State Fish Pier. Just put on by tremendous, again, volunteers like Karen Tibbetts, Al Catone, plus an army of people who just you know, did the legwork, all the hard stuff, and put on a really great festival. You know, educational, fun. In the summertime, it was just outstanding. And then we had a Heritage Festival in October down at Stage Fort Park. Again, we had great volunteers. The Italian community came together, the Finnish community. We had eight different booths representing different cultures, the Brazilians, you know, right down the line, and Native Americans, importantly, too. Just to back up for one second, the whole concept of 400 plus, you keep on seeing the plus, is that the English settled Gloucester 400 years ago, but the plus represents the people who lived here for 10,000 years before that. So it's an important concept that other communities like Beverly, who celebrates their 400th in 2026, they will be adopting the plus. So will Salem the same year. So it's a really important concept that we adopted.
There's so much to cover and so little time. You mentioned a couple of highlights, and I want you to mention maybe a couple more that come to mind in summarizing the year's activities, because the committee has covered just about every aspect of life in Gloucester that I can think of, from fishing to the arts to everyday life, and as you say, to history, to stories, and so on. And everywhere you go, you see Gloucester 400-plus signs. This is going to stick around for a while, and I think there's going to be a legacy here that will be remembered. And as you might have foresaw, you know, 25, 50 years from now, they'll look back on this committee and see how it was done. Gloucester is growing at a pretty amazing rate, and I think it's important that newcomers understand what the culture has been in the area, not just Gloucester, but all of the North Shore, really. But maybe touch on one or two more things, and then I want to talk about how this thing was funded, the fundraising that you did, the spirit of volunteerism, and so on. But give me a couple of other highlights, Bob, because so much has gone on this year with the Gloucester 400-plus committee.
Sure, Rick. You know, one thing I'd want to mention to your point about going forward, the people that are looking at this 50 years from now, the Stories Project is something that's going to live on forever. We're working out an arrangement, a formal arrangement with the Sawyer Free Library to house the stories forever. And it's so important going down the road that that, you know, this survives and thrives over the course of many years, decades, centuries even. And so that's really one important aspect. But as far as you asked for a couple highlights, I mean, the week before last, Boston College's women's hockey team played Northeastern women's game, and Dorothy Talbot Rink at O'Malley School was rocking. The place was jam-packed. It was a great game, 1-1, going into with 5 minutes left in the third period, and Northeastern scored to go ahead, and then they got an empty netter. But what a great game! I mean, top-notch hockey, just exciting, and Gloucester did itself proud by showing up for this.
And mention Ben Smith, if you would.
Absolutely. Ben was the catalyst for the whole thing to happen. And just a quick story is that when he approached me about this, I said, that's a great idea. This will be novel. We'll knock it out of the park with this. And Ben asked me the question. He asked, do you think many people will come? And I said, Ben, come on. We're going to fill this place up. It's going to be rocking. And the reason he mentioned that was...
Hold on.
Sure.
Dottie, just in the middle of an interview, that's all right. Come on in. Well, Bob's here.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, good. Hey, Dottie, how you doing?
I'm good.
Great
how
job
are you?
Yesterday.
Okay, so again, sorry, pardon the interruption, I guess, as they say. We're at the Gloucester 400 Plus headquarters, and people come in, and Bob is volunteering right now to man the ship. So we get interrupted from time to time, which keeps it real. I want to go back to Ben Smith, the hockey game, as one of the highlights of this year. And you were mentioning Ben was actually asking you if you were going to get if a crowd would show up.
Right. He was, Rick, because unfortunately, women's hockey has not taken off yet. Conti Forum, which holds 8,000 people, you might get 100 to 200 people to come for a women's Division I ice hockey game. It's a shame. Same thing with Northeastern, Matthews Arena. I think they have a marketing problem that they have to fix because it's top-notch hockey. If you're a hockey fan, you're going to enjoy this. So I think they appreciated, both of those teams really appreciated playing before a full house.
Well, I know the fan reaction was terrific. All over the city, all over social media, it was a great time.
Yeah. And the thing is, most of the fans didn't have any particular team to root for. But certainly you had BC representation there. You had Husky representation. But most of them just came to appreciate good hockey, and there were a lot of little girls running around watching these players and dreaming about what could happen with them too.
Yep,
so,
yep. All right. Well, that's another example of creative thinking. I presume in getting something like that going, and the Gloucester 400 Plus was the impetus for that. Bob, I want to turn to I'm looking at sponsorship over here, and I want to ask you about sponsorship in the city. You, of course, as the former president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, have been involved in so many fundraising requests over the years, and Harold Rogers before that, and now Marianne Smith. And the bank always comes through. But looking at that wall of donors up there, Gloucester seems to be a pretty giving place.
Definitely, Rick. Starting with the bank, and I'm biased, the bank made a lead contribution to grease the skids, if you will, and they were our largest donor. On top of that, the room that we're sitting at here in 123 Main Street was given to the 400th for a 4-year period of time to use at no cost. So the bank donated this beautiful space here, which has been perfect for us over the course of the years. So starting with them, but the other banks in town, Bank Gloucester and Institution for Savings, both very, very generous. Couldn't have done it without them. You go right down the list, and I'm sure I'm going to miss some. But
I'll take a picture of all the donors.
Yeah, they're all up there. Applied Materials, Gorton's, Lindsay Coolidge, Molly and John Burns. We just lost John recently. Tremendous, tremendous donors. Beauport Hospitality Group, we were so lucky to have them. But I also want to mention importantly that both the state, Senator Bruce Tarr and Representative Ann Margaret Ferranti were instrumental in getting us funding that we needed as seed money to get started. Absolutely instrumental, and as was the City of Gloucester, which provided us grant money for free events. And so we've gotten so much support from the city, from the state, from our business sponsors. And also, I want to say, from so many individuals have come across to help us with this effort. It's so humbling and overwhelming in some ways.
Well, I have to bring up the spirit of volunteerism because Dottie Linquata just came in from the Gloucester House, and of course Lenny and Donnie. Dottie always volunteering stuff, always donating, and Lenny runs the Salvation Army, bell ringer volunteer program in Gloucester, and he's out there in the cold, he's ringing the bell. You, Bruce, Toby, Ruth Pino, and so many others, I think of Dick Wilson in particular, have volunteered so much over the years. And one of the things I want to ask you about, it's similar in broadcasting. We don't have a lot of youth in broadcasting now and getting into what we do, whether it's a small little business like ours or getting into whatever it might be. Year in and year out, it's the same people who have volunteered in Gloucester, but you have mentioned that so many other people have contributed. Overall, Bob, what does it take to do what you do, and do you see a younger generation coming into this city and picking up where you guys have to leave it? You know what I'm asking?
Absolutely, sure. Yep. I do see that, and starting with our Gloucester Celebration Corporation Board, I mentioned earlier, we've got two young people on that board, Erin Anastasia Murphy and Andrew Marks, who are very involved with a lot already. They're the ones, you always go to the busiest people when you want something done. But I have a lot of optimism for the future as far as volunteerism and that type of thing. And I look to the Chamber of Commerce's Next Generation group. They actually have a separate group made up of, I don't know how young you have to be in the Next Generation group, but they have a terrific body of young people that that get together with different things. They're the ones that started the Cape Ann Brew Fest the year before last. It was a tremendous success. Unfortunately, it got rained out past summer, but there is a really solid group of young people who are extremely busy. I mean, they're working hard. They're raising young families, and but I have a lot of optimism for the future with that.
I love hearing that. All right, I'm gonna just make sure. Okay. Have to check with my glasses here on whether this thing is still recording or not. I want to just change the subject here for a second, and then we'll wrap this thing up because I've kept you all morning. You have so many hats that you still wear, and I want to ask a little bit about something I came across. We got a press release from the mayor's office having to do with a funding grant for housing or housing study and stuff like that. Tell me a little bit about what your your job is, not job, but what your role is in terms of housing in the city, because not only this city, but everywhere, you hear problems with housing and rent and things like that. But what actually are you involved with, Bob?
Sure, Rick. I've been involved personally with affordable housing in this area for over 30 years on a number of different levels. I'm passionate about it. It was a problem then, and it's much more of an acute problem now. And so I was fortunately just appointed by the mayor to the Affordable Housing Trust. And we are fortunate to have been granted $1.5 million which would to be used really to develop new affordable housing. That's either to develop it or to preserve affordable housing in the city. And our Affordable Housing Trust, our chair is Larry Oakes, and we have a big job ahead of us to use that money because it has to be committed by the end of December 2024. So we have a year to commit those funds. And obviously, there are a lot of needs as far as housing goes, and so we are going to be actively looking for nonprofit housing developers to build, preserve, rehabilitate housing for affordable purposes.
To coin a phrase, that sounds like a daunting task.
It is. affordable housing. I'm the president of the board of an organization called Harborlight Homes. We were formerly Harborlight Community Partners, and we develop affordable housing all over the North Shore. And it's a very complex thing to do, because affordable housing development requires multitudes of funding sources, and it requires people who are really good at it. And it's a very specific type of development. So we're fortunate to have a great team doing that. And we'll see some of that development here in town with Harborlight Homes, as well as other nonprofit developers. So there's a great need. Whatever we do will help. But the need will continue for the foreseeable future.
Well, you're an eternal optimist, and I appreciate that. And may you live to be 200 years old and be in good health and of good mind and continue this for all of us here in the city. Bob, anything else you want to mention sort of as a wrap-up or a summary of the Gloucester 400 Plus? Because, you know, as we record this, there's only 2 weeks left in 2023. And already, you know, I'm sure that people are thinking 25, 50 years down the road. But let's enjoy this and savor what we've had. I think you guys have done an amazing job. I have the things you mentioned, I went to most of them except the hockey game. I wish I had been there. And it was fun seeing Bruce Tarr drive around the fish pier in a golf cart pushing people back and forth. So, I don't know, just maybe some final thoughts.
Sure, sure. Well, we still have a few events coming up. The year isn't over. There's a wonderful storytelling event at Maritime Gloucester, led by, again, our leader in the stories area, Terry Mangos Weber. And that's coming up Tuesday at 6:30 at Maritime Gloucester. And we're also looking to have a big New Year's Eve event for families at our beautiful Cape Ann YMCA. We're going to have a laser show. There's going to be all kinds of fun stuff, and it's going to be for families, kids. We're looking to knock it out of the park on New Year's Eve.
And so you have. All right, that's Bob Gillis, former president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank and tri-chair of the Gloucester 400 Plus Committee. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.